Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls or any of that stuff, but we get right to the news this week. I was not aware that there hasn't been a major aviation incident in the continental United States in more than 15 years, since 2009. It's pretty amazing. But then to have such horrible events, two of them within a week, it's just terrible. It's awful. It's tragic. And we'll get to some reporting on that. But let's start with something a little more lighthearted, since it's been such a depressing week. Let's start with the imminent closure of the Ivanpah power plant in Nevada. That's right. 11 years after it opened, the massive solar plant outside of Las Vegas faces closure. The world's largest solar plant of its type, according to ABC News, is headed for closure just 11 years after opening. Anyone who has made the run from Las Vegas west, south, I guess, on 15, has seen this massive solar calliope out there in the desert with the three towers glowing, burns the retina of your eye when you drive by. You have to look away. Well, that's the Ivanpah plant in Nevada. It uses a technology known as solar thermal, or popularly dubbed Rube Goldberg concentrated solar, where 350,000 computer-controlled mirrors, roughly the size of one garage door each, reflect sunlight up to boilers atop 450-foot towers. Water in the boiler's tubes then makes steam, which drives turbines to create electricity. And you might wonder, hearing my description, how this was not just dismissed as utterly ridiculous in the planning stages. Well, the fact that it was not dismissed as ludicrous proves the depth of the fraud and graft built into the Green Revolution. And the fraud and the graft is built into the Green Revolution by the revolutionaries who designed it and are skimming off the top and taking the vig. That's what it's all proof of. We have a statement from one of the energy industry sponsors of this giant bamboozle that's been vacuuming tax dollars away from hardworking Americans for 11 years and redepositing them into the pockets of the likes of companies like NRG, otherwise known as NEG. That's right. The big oil companies, the big energy companies, they're all in on the skim. They say, oh, we want to be involved in the green energy future. No, they don't. They're just going to take the skim as long as they can, and then they're going to bail on it and go back to drilling for oil. But why not get in on the skim, on the scam, on the flim, on the flam? Why not? They're all a bunch of criminals, bunch of godless heathens atop American industry. Not realizing that in lining their own pockets, they're destroying the country. They're destroying people's lives and people's livelihoods. Anyway, listen to this statement from NRG. They said in a statement, because nobody wanted to get up and actually take questions about the fact that this $450 billion, or however big the bamboozle was, they don't even get into how many dollars were squandered here. ABC doesn't, because nobody wants to get into that. So nobody wanted to get up in front of a group of reporters and take questions on this. So NRG released a statement that said the project was successful, but unable to compete. And then they're allowed to just release that. So if you're unable to compete, that means the project was a failure. But not in the green energy revolution. Failure is success. And why? Because they successfully stole all that money and bought houses and cars and private jets, European vacations. That's the definition of a success. Come on. All right. So there you go. So hundreds of thousands of birds who've been incinerated southwest of Las Vegas now have the opportunity to live again. Or to live, I guess. Anyway. Seriously, I've been almost blinded by that thing driving through there. So I'm glad to see it go. Although now it'll just be a hulking wreck of rusting glass and metal that'll just rot in the desert for the next 20 years and just look embarrassing. That's the downside. Meanwhile, let's go to the Daily Skeptic, where there has been a new study released, cited by the Mail Online, a left-wing, communist, godless, heathen newspaper over in Europe. In England, I'm sorry, I don't mean to. Yeah, in England. That is warning that the new study warns, because of global warming, sea level rises could climb 6 feet and submerge cities such as London, Hull, and Cardiff within 75 years. This is the latest study from the purveyors of the Green Revolution who built the highly successful energy plant, closing after 11 years because it can't compete. They have a new study out. They put it out about 75 years. Major catastrophes if we don't act now. That's right. Now, everyone who made the predictions of this particular study here will be dead before the catastrophic impacts. They'll be alive now to take the skim and the vig off whatever they talk the girls in Europe into doing about this impending catastrophe. They'll be alive to take the vig and the skim, but they'll be dead before any of the predictions can be evaluated scientifically. They'll all be dead and gone, and their children won't hold their memories to account, because none of these people will have any children, so there won't be any accountability. So this is the latest sea level rise, 6 feet by 2100. Be afraid. Be very afraid and become a communist, because that's the solution. Become a godless communist heathen and send them money is the solution. And oddly enough, for the better part of 100 years, people keep falling for it. But perhaps we've reached peak climate. So what have we reached? I remember peak oil back when Barack Obama was running for office. We were about to reach peak oil. And then I picked peak woke. Have we hit peak climate yet? Maybe. Let's hope so. Maybe this will do it. From the Like a Suicide File, we go to Europe.
Again?
Yep. Go to Europe for the Like a Suicide File, where Europe has been slowly committing suicide in broad daylight in front of God and everybody, and it's just sad to see. But the European automotive market is facing an existential crisis, according to the reporter over at hotair.com. A wave of dramatic workforce reductions combined with impending fines that European car manufacturers are about to start facing because they haven't been able to conform to the green delusion. So they could be fined by the very charlatans who told them you have to make these cars this way, this green, and they said, okay, we'll do it. And then now they can't do it because it was completely ludicrous from the beginning. And so the people who imposed the ludocracy are going to now fine the manufacturers who'd agreed to go along with it because they're all taking the skim. And so they're going to end up destroying European car manufacturing. But they'll be able to retire comfortably to Spain and the south of France. But this is according to Hot Air, this is a perfect storm of economic challenges threatening European car manufacturing industry. Volkswagen is even now in negotiations to let Chinese electric car makers take over production lines. in Germany because Volkswagen doesn't have the demand for their cars. They don't have the capacity. That's right. They say they're open to partnerships with Chinese rivals to use up some of the excess capacity in their factories as Volkswagen scales back production and Chinese EV manufacturers scale up production. David Powell's chief financial officer at Volkswagen said to the newspaper, quote, "We are open for any discussion on any topic with any partner. Anyone, please help us. Anyone, including the Chinese EV manufacturers that seek to replace Volkswagen as auto manufacturers." So, according to Hot Air, EU manufacturers are staring at massive fines coming down the pipe because they can't meet the artificial sales goals set by the same bureaucrats in Brussels who led them down the subsidized EV path that has left them standing like sheep to the wolves, like deer in the headlights of China's more greater subsidized EV manufacturing. So the Chinese can keep up the subsidies longer. Long enough to destabilize and eventually possibly devour European manufacturing altogether. Now we have a, let's see, we have a statement issued by Ursula von der Leyen. She's the high priest of the EU Commission on Civilizational Murder and Suicide. And she has released a statement regarding the policies, goals, and the milestones that were set back when the Green Delusion was put in place and the skim started and all of that. And people are asking Ursula von der Leyen, do you think maybe we could ease up on the green requirements, seeing as they're about to destroy our manufacturing base and we're about to be devoured by the Chinese? And Ursula says, "Niet." No, wait, she's German. She would say nein. She says nein. She says the commission has maintained its target to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 55% by 2030. And have them to zero. Zero, I said, by 2050. We stay the course. The goals are cast in stone. The goals stay. The objectives stay. But we want to reach it better and faster. And for that, we have to reduce complexity, is all this is we need to do. Certainly not stop. So until Ursula von der Leyen is arrested, she should be arrested. Most of the EU Commission in Brussels, the next time they come together, they should all be arrested by real law enforcement in Europe. Are you people in Europe not paying attention? Donald Trump won the election. We can start arresting these maniacs now. I hope Trump starts arresting some of them, because that'll be a signal to the rest of the world that all of these people who've been lying and selling us out to our enemies, it's okay now. They're traitors. It was an insurrection against civilization. We can start arresting them now. That would be something good Donald Trump would affect, and I would be happy to give him credit for it. But in Europe, it doesn't seem like they've gotten the hint. And it could be because they're just a bunch of pile of godless homosexual deviants. They're not coming back. They're not coming back from that. And we can only hope America comes back. But listen to what happened in Germany. In Germany, the Christian Democratic Union, which has nothing to do with Christianity, it's the socialist leftist political party that has basically defiled Germany for the better part of 50 years. The Christian Democratic Union has once again shown its true colors, according to RAIRFoundation.com, R-A-I-R Foundation.com. The brutal murder of a 24-year-old Christian Democrat Union politician took place this past month by an asylum seeker named Mahmoudou from Guinea. And while this murder of a politician should have been a wake-up call to the Christian Democrat Union to start abandoning its suicidal policies of mass immigration of Muslim fanatics. It wasn't a wake-up call. Instead, the Christian Democratic Union Party chose silence. Even worse, they quietly erased the young victim from their website as if he had never existed in a hat tip to Mahmoudou. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. You'll have to forgive me, I had to go a little bit long on that, but it wasn't the guitar. No. Maybe it was. But I was also responding to a text I got from the God Country and Family PAC. The God Country and Family Political Action Committee. I don't know who decided to give my cell phone number, all of our cell phone numbers, to all the political hacks out there. But anyway, I have stop now as a paste, so I can just paste it. Stop. Leave me alone. Stop. They say Ron DeSantis is issuing a grave warning after Republicans stab Trump in the back. And I'm thinking, no, I am not buying any of that. They're just fishing for funds. It's embarrassing. So, but anyway, back to the German political party who erased a member who was murdered by a Muslim fanatic. So as not to be embarrassed about importing Muslim fanatics to destroy Europe. That's pretty bad. I mean, when people are actually being killed and you're not ready to abandon your left-wing fanatical support for deviancy and the hatred of God, this is that, and that's what's at the bottom of it, is these leftists hate God so much they're willing to be killed. I mean, they're fanatically devoted. They'll allow certain others to be killed. So once enough of them are threatened with a legitimate penalty of death or suffering, or actually probably just discomfort for any significant amount of time, they'll bail. So it's up to the normal people to put pressure on the abnormal psychopaths to make them uncomfortable long enough that they'll stop and just cut it all out, please. So the tragic, horrible, awful plane crash, the collision between the Black Hawk helicopter and the commercial airliner. Again, the first significant commercial airline catastrophe in 15 years. So I've been following the news, of course, trying to figure it out. And by the way, for everyone out there who has an opinion about any of this, I would recommend you shut up for a while. Because, you know, I see people posting, how could they not have seen the plane? Well, I'm telling you, there's ways they could have not seen the plane. So just I would hold your fire on all the conspiracy theories and all of that until we get to see what happened. Because anyway, as I was following the news, I noticed the accident happened on Wednesday. By Friday morning, the names of the two white male pilots, the pilot and the crew chief, were announced. And their stories were out there, and there were pictures of them from social media. And it was Staff Sergeant Ryan Austin O'Hara, 28. He was killed. And Warrant Officer Andrew Lloyd Eves, 39, Grand Mills, Maryland, also killed. And this is from an NPR report. The third crew member, NPR reported on Friday, was a female pilot. The Army, at least up through Friday, was withholding that pilot's name at the request of her family, which I found odd. I didn't say anything about it because it's best to just shut up until the facts come in on things like this. And the best explanation I've read about why this accident happened is because there wasn't a second crew chief sitting in the seat that would have seen the other plane. And standard Army practice, standard aviation practice is when you're on a night vision mission, you have four people on the helicopter so that you can see from all four. But there wasn't. There was only three. And that's probably the most critical error that contributed to this crash was that there wasn't a second crew chief who would have been looking out the window that would have seen the plane and said, hey, guys, turn. I think that's what we'll find out. But why was the Army withholding the female pilot's name on Friday? Well, on Saturday night, we found out why. It's because Rebecca Lobach, captain, who served as a White House social aide during the Biden administration. That's why they withheld her name, was so that her family could scrub her social media, and maybe the Army too. Or I'm not sure who scrubbed her social media, but she's a 28-year-old social media, a finely represented social media person up until the crash, and now all her social media is gone. Her family's social media is gone. Her sister's social media is gone. And she was in the White House last month escorting Ralph Lauren through the White House when he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Was
Ralph
Lauren? I know. That's what I said. I was like, Ralph Lauren got the presidential? I thought we gave that to people who, I don't know, like ended wars or but I mean, well, yeah, see, that's the thing. The Hyde and Barris administration had basically, I mean, they basically put the Presidential Medal of Freedom right up there with the Nobel Prize for Barack Obama for winning the election. And the prize you get in the Cracker Jack is pretty much what that's all worth now. But anyway, Lobach's family issued the following statement. Rebecca was many things. She was a daughter, sister, partner, and friend. Partner? He asked. Question mark. Okay. The statement also says, Lobach was a decorated service member whose accolades include the Army Commendation Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, and the Army Service Ribbon. Okay, so listen, folks, I'm a veteran, so I don't have to bow and scrape every time a veteran's name is mentioned or a veteran dies in a tragic training accident, because I was there. So I don't have to. These alleged medals, these are all medals that you get for serving without being arrested or getting in any significant trouble. That's what all these are. They're standard stamped. Everybody gets them. The Army Commendation Medal is the one medal that you're awarded. But that just means your CO liked you and submitted you to get this medal just to burnish your record. It's not real. If you actually do something heroic and your CO recommend you for the Army Commendation Medal, that means he didn't like you. Because if you actually do something heroic, you'd at least be nominated for submitted for a Bronze Star. Come on. So all of these medals are not real medals. I'm not going to say they're not real medals, but the Army Service Ribbon you get, if I'm not mistaken, it's just for finishing boot camp and your MOS school without getting in trouble. You get the Service Ribbon. It's basically like the trophy for participating. According to her family, she graduated within the top 20% of ROTC cadets nationwide. So I read that and I'm like, the top 20%? Is that even a category? The top 20%? I mean, I could see the top 1% or 2%, but the top 20%? Really? Okay, I think you're stretching there. It's like mentioning the Army Service Ribbon. Please. Anyway, so that's why they withheld her name. That's why the family requested her name be withheld, so that they could scrub all the left-wing woke propaganda from her social media. Because so Rebecca Lobach is the poster child for the army of woke. That's why. And it's a sad politicization of a young woman's leftist career. But that's what it is. And that's what she signed up for. And that's what she was cruising on. And that's why she's going to get what she gets. And she's going to be called what she's going to be called, because it's what she is. She was the poster child for the army of woke. And she was not qualified to be flying that plane. And there was a whole bunch of people around her and above her who also were poster children for woke and were not qualified. By the way, the co-pilot, the other pilot and the other crew chief, I don't know that they were among them. To be doing what they were doing, it seems to me that they were probably not qualified. I'm just going to say, I wouldn't have gotten on that helicopter. All right. Not to impugn their loyalty and their Americanism and all of that. But flying that type of mission in that type of place, I wouldn't have got on that plane. All right. Now, meanwhile, Ralph Lauren. Why did Ralph Lauren get the Presidential Medal of Freedom that it was handed out to? I'm trying to think of some. I should have done some research to find some quality recipient. The medal started back in John F. Kennedy started it, and I think he gave it first. I shouldn't say. He gave it to Martin Luther King before anyone knew King was a communist. Back when Martin Luther King was just trying to get equal rights for black folks. But now Ralph Lauren got it, and Captain Lobach was a what did they call her? Let's see, a social aide during the Biden administration. Now, how many red-blooded, hardcore Christian American girls who want to serve America made it as social aides, are picked as social aides during the Hyde and Barris administration? What do you think was one of the criteria to be a social aide in the White House during the Hyde and Barris administration? It was to be a leftist, preferably a woke lesbian and or transgendered leftist. And so we're going to assume that Captain Rebecca Lobach was at the very least a leftist. Her family says she was a partner and a friend. Now, Ralph Lauren, what did he do? What did he do to receive the Cracker Jack Nobel Presidential Medal of Laughingstock? Well, his corporate website has the announcement of his reception. I'm sorry, of his, what do you call it when you, it's his designation as a recipient of the prestigious, it was a prestigious ceremony presided over by President Biden. And the corporate website says the reason Ralph was put up for the Presidential Medal was because the Ralph Lauren Corporate Foundation continues to champion equity and empower underserved communities worldwide, embodying his belief in the power of compassion and opportunity. Excuse me, what was that last line? The power of compassion and opportunity? Wait a minute, that doesn't mean anything. Are you allowed to say that? Do you expect us to allow you, as a giant multinational corporation, to be able to publish a statement like that, and we're not supposed to say, wait a second, that last part doesn't mean anything? Okay, well, I'm just saying, I'm calling you out on it. I caught that. Me, myself, if I release a statement, I'm going to make sure that the words actually mean something. Now, there were some words in there that meant something, like equity and empowering underserved communities. We know what that means. It means you're leftist, socialist, communists. And so that would mean you'd be under consideration for the Presidential Medal of Freedom from the Hyde and Barris administration, because they liked leftist communists. For more than 50 years, this is more from the Ralph Lauren's corporate website. For more than 50 years, Ralph Lauren has sought to inspire the dream of a better life through authenticity and timeless style. So again, did Kamala Harris write this? It's a meaningless pile of words. And if that's what it takes to be nominated for the Presidential Medal of Freedom in the Hyde-Barris administration, well, that's just one more reason we can all be glad that the Hyde-Barris administration has come to an end. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That was the general 80s introduction to 60% of all of the metal produced between 1979 and 1989. That was the requisite introductory guitar riff. All right. But it was well done. All right. Meanwhile, we go now. I hope you're sitting down. We go to the widespread panic file where the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, otherwise known as the FDA, unless you work there, then you call it FDA, as if it's like a person. Normal people call it the FDA. Officials, especially in the hierarchy, they just call it FDA, which is really creepy, right? I want to give them a drug test as soon as... Have you ever been in the room with some of these people? I have. It's creepy. Anyway, the FDA has issued a severe warning regarding broccoli. Oh, no. That's right. Broccoli sold at Walmart. Who buys broccoli at Walmart? That's weird, isn't it? I guess not anymore, right? Yeah, they have the grocery stores. I'm still not used to that. Walmart, you buy a bike or a football or baseball mitt. Broccoli? Anyway, the recall is classified as class one. Oh, no, class one. That's the most serious class, according to reporters here at the Dallas Express, whatever that is. So the Dallas Express, for all we know, it's not even a real newspaper. It was created in the last 5 minutes by the DNC. Anyway, it's class one, the most serious. Indicating, listen to what class one means, a significant risk of severe health consequences or even death if the product is consumed. Well, you don't have to say if the product is consumed. We assume that. What are we, a bunch of idiots? We thought if you even looked at it, that you might die. If you don't even look at that broccoli. No, you've seen enough of that. It's all right. Anyway, where was I going with this? Besides just wanting to make sure that you were scared. Oh, while no illnesses or deaths have actually been reported.
I'm sorry.
Right? I know. Class one.
You injury and death. Don't even look at it.
No injuries or deaths have been reported. The FDA still urges consumers to check their homes and especially their freezers. Because there's a possibility this broccoli is tainted with listeria. Listeria, which that sounds scary, right? That's a bad disease. Listeria is, you get a tummy ache. That's what it is. Now, listeria, of course, can cause serious health issues. Of course, any pathogen can cause serious health issues. No kidding. What does it usually cause? Fever, muscle aches, gastrointestinal system symptoms, diarrhea, a cramped stomach ache. That's what it usually causes. It can lead to severe complications, including death in extreme cases, they put at the very end of the article after you're all worked up. Digging through your freezer, just looking for the broccoli. Anyway. So I've been reading this endless stream of recalls and scares, and I just wonder aloud now here on the Weekly Worldview, which is what I do, I wonder aloud, is it possible that government agencies have been weaponized and are being manipulated by bad actors to gin up actionable events favorable to the enemies of America? That's what I want to ask out loud. Because if Donald Trump and all of his people are looking to drain the swamp or do whatever they're going to do, which I encourage them to do, please start with this question. Is it possible these agencies have been weaponized and they're staffed with traitorous communists, enemies of America, who want to do things to destabilize America so that our enemies have an advantage over us? And if so, when you find them, don't just fire them, arrest them. Put them on trial. We need to scare the hell out of these people. Just like they've been trying to do to us for the past 5 years, they need to get some of it. Or this will never stop. This is the type of thing that needs to be punishable by criminal criminal prosecution is what they're doing. All right. What's that?
Give them broccoli.
There you go. Send them to jail and feed them broccoli. Yeah. With a side of cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. 15 years. All right. So from the, what was that? Was the broccoli listeria. From there we go deeper into the widespread panic file where out in Merced County, California, the country's first case of H5N9 bird flu has been identified in California. Not H5N1, H5N9, which is 8 higher than N1, and N1 was terrifying. Now, nobody was getting all that terrified except the poor farmers come in, slaughter all their chickens, slaughter all their duck. They were terrified. But the average American was like, meh, H5N1. Well, now we've got H5N9. That's 8 higher, which is scary. The H5N9 strain is different from H5N1. It's according to News Nation. They're pretty smart. The strain has already been documented in more than 60 people and may have sickened one person. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. 60 people were sickened.
Oh, okay.
One person was killed by H5N1.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, he was an older guy. He was morbidly obese. He had heart condition. He had diabetes. He had high blood pressure.
Oh, sounds
familiar. He was hit by a bus, but we're pretty sure it was the H5N1 that got him. Anyway, I'm exaggerating that, but the guy in Louisiana who died allegedly with this, allegedly, okay. So in a notification, though, the World Organization for Animal Health, confirmed the new strain. Okay, well, who is this World Organization for Animal Health, and why should I believe anything from them? They might have been created in the last 5 minutes by a bunch of communist insurrectionists at the DNC. But they say there's a new strain. The investigation began in November of 2024. And the new strain was confirmed on January 13th. They say this is the first confirmed case of HPAI H5N9 in poultry in the United States. Another chicken flock to be slaughtered. The U.S. Now listen to this. If you don't think you're living in the Soviet Union, the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, in conjunction with the state animal health and wildlife officials, are conducting comprehensive epidemiological investigations and enhanced surveillance in response to the HPAI, that's the highly pathogenic avian influenza, all these HPAI-related events. So we have multiple private NGO and then government. We got 2 layers of bureaucracy, 1 layer of NGO. Color me skeptical about all of this. I don't trust any of these people anymore. I don't trust the 501c3 charities that are supposed to be looking out for animal health. I don't believe you. I think you're a communist on the take is what I think you are. But I love animals. Okay, good for you. You're also a communist on the take. You should be in jail. Let's see. This new strain, this terrifying, horrifying H5N9 strain was found in a commercial duck premises in Merced, California. Let's see. I thought they said poultry. I guess duck is poultry, right? Yes. I don't consider ducks poultry. I like them. I personally don't eat ducks. They look too, I don't know. A chicken I can eat because, but a duck, I don't know. Anyway, they say now that they've found this HPAI in the ducks there in Merced County, control measures have been undertaken in an attempt to contain the virus. How are you going to contain a flu virus? Are you people out of your minds? Okay, anyway, flu viruses don't get contained. They get spread around, and then they kill some people and some ducks, but then other people develop immunity, and that's how we recover. But no, they want to go in and slaughter 100,000 ducks every time they find this thing. Slaughter 50 million chickens. I don't know how many millions of chickens they've slaughtered. Anyway, according to the World Organization for Animal Health, a total of 118,954 birds were killed in December after state officials quarantined the affected area. Who killed the ducks? Was it the virus or was it the maniacs trying to contain the virus by slaughtering all of our poultry, for crying out loud? Somebody needs to get control of these people. And, I certainly hope Donald Trump or Gavin Newsom now. Listen to this. Gavin Newsom has suddenly realized that it might be in his best interest to start behaving like a normal person. Listen to this. Newsom issued an order on Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah. He issued an order on Friday to maximize the capture and storage of water during rainstorms, during the rainy season in California. And then you're like, when you read that, you say, wait a minute, he had to sign an order to, okay, that's right. Now, the LA Times reports that environmental groups say the approach is a rubber stamp. They say he sounds just like Donald Trump, and this order to capture water threatens to harm fish and the deteriorating ecosystem in the Sacramento San Joaquin River Delta. That's right. The LA Times reporter reports the order to capture water in order to, you know, sustain life and put out fires. The LA Times has to dutifully report the environmental hysterical side, who says, no, let all the water go so that we can die feeling guilty about what horrible people we are. Newsom signed the order on Friday and says it will make it easier to divert and store water as storms bring rain and snow in the coming days and weeks over the rainy season there in California. And then, okay, that's great, Gavin, but where are you going to store the water? All the communist criminal gang that runs California hasn't allowed any new water storage infrastructure for 50 or 60 years. So you can't just issue an order, Gavin. You have to actually have a place to put the water. Well, hopefully they'll at least fill up the places they have. That'll be a step in the right direction. Anyway, Gavin Newsom is the most craven political animal I've ever observed. I think he realizes that if Trumpism is a winner, he'll get the We the People tattoo on his forearm like Hegseth, and he'll put the red hat on. He will Gavin Newsom. And now listen to this. I criticize the LA Times. Listen to this reporter's biography at the latimes.com. The reporter's name is Ian James, and the LA Times says he is a reporter who focuses on water and climate change in California and the West. To which any normal thinking human being would say, wait a minute, I thought you said he's a reporter. How can a reporter be someone who focuses on water and climate change in California and the West? A reporter is supposed to report what happens, not toe the line for some advocacy cult about some particular issue. Don't you remember a reporter sitting at the desk, the phone rings, here's what's happening. The reporter's supposed to run down there and document what's happening, write a report, come back. And then if something else happens, the reporter reports on whatever that was. This guy's not a reporter. He's an advocate. He's a political advocate. And I'm guessing he's also gay and a communist. And also, he doesn't seem to have gotten the memo from Gavin, this reporter who, by the way, 60% of this article is climate hysteria over Gavin Newsom just threatening to behave like a normal governor when it comes to water management. And so this communist propagandist is what Ian James is over at the LA Times. And our country and the media is full of these, riddled. It's occupied and run by a bunch of communist propagandists. And this particular one hasn't gotten the memo from Gavin. Hey, Ian, didn't you hear your job was no longer operational as a climate hysteric. We no longer need you. You should apply for work somewhere else in the family business. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you. Greatest intro in the history of intros, by the way, right there, in my humble opinion. All right, so we go from the craven communist propagandists, insurrectionists, festering under the surface in the media, threatening to destroy civilization. We go from and just spreading hysteria about every possible issue that takes us back to the widespread panic file where ABC News reports on bird flu cases continue to rise, heavily impacting egg-laying flocks. But it's not the bird flu cases. It's the maniacal government bureaucrats coming in and killing all the egg-laying flocks. I'm not saying that the bird flu wouldn't impact the flock. Yes, it will. But not as severely as killing everyone in the flock. And then the bird flu keeps to spread, and they don't get it. They're like, well, why is it still spreading? We keep killing all these chickens, but the flu doesn't stop. Well, maybe stop with the killing all the chickens if it's not working. No. So it's like they got a bloodlust against the chickens. It's weird. Anyway, the ABC is now noticing the increased prices on fresh eggs. Isn't that odd? Now that there's a Republican in the White House, the media notices that prices are through the roof on everything, especially eggs. Egg prices are up nearly 37% from last year. I'm thinking, what do you mean? Like from November of last year? They're up like 150% from last year. Are you people crazy? By the way, Donald Trump won. You can actually be honest about the inflation now. Hello? They say this is the prices are up due to the highly pathogenic avian influenza, H5N1, that's killed millions of chickens. Nah. It's not the H5N1 that killed all the chickens. All right. It's the bureaucrats. How do they kill them, I wonder? You're going in there with hatchets? She turned a bunch. All right, I'm not going to go there. Department of Agriculture predicted egg prices could rise up to 20% this year. I bet they're up 100%. I bet they're up 100% by June, 20% this year. Give me a break. Do you people think we can't do math? I saw a dozen eggs for like $9. And that's for the low-end stuff. You want the organic stuff, $12, $13 a... Do you think we can't do math? 37%. All right. What was the point of the story? The USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, comma, the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, comma, and Agricultural Research Service have completed multiple studies to confirm the fact that If eggs are properly prepared and cooked, they are safe to eat. And you stop and you're like, well, wait a second. If you can tell us how to properly prepare and cook the eggs and the flu virus isn't going to make us sick because we eat the eggs, why are you killing all the chickens? Why are you people out of your mind? Now, forget the redundancy of three separate agencies conducting the same studies to prove the same thing that we all knew before. Just because a chicken has the bird flu doesn't mean its eggs are going to make you sick. How do we know that? Well, because they never have. But let's kill all the chickens. Freak out. These agencies have completed three separate beef studies now. Why? Because beef is next. These people will go on the warpath against the cows now and start slaughtering beef. Unless I'm serious. The president has to step in and issue an order saying, you know what, just cut this out. So hire some adults. But anyway, but the point of the story was ABC News is kind enough to suggest to us six egg substitutes. Now, I wouldn't... egg substitutes. Now, I would know nothing about this because I have not cooked for myself in 35 years. So I don't know how to cook. Don't cook. I'm thinking maybe I'll get into cooking as I get older because I need something to do that's not physically taxing on my body. And cooking seems like might be a it's easier than yard work and construction framing and building things around the house, which I used to do before my body started collapsing. So I might have to go to cooking. So I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to ask my extremely attractive audio engineer her opinion on the six best egg substitutes, according to ABC News. Mm-hmm. Number one, ground flax seed. Would that work? Ground flax seed as a egg substitute, as an egg substitute. Okay, now that one might be, here's next, applesauce as opposed to egg. Okay.
I mean, for cooking, right?
Yeah, this for cooking. Yes, yes, yes. Applesauce. After that, chia seeds.
Yeah.
Chia seeds.
I hear that.
Okay. After that, aquafaba, which I'm not familiar with what aquafaba is, but silken tofu. Now, that I could see as an egg substitute.
But why?
It can have the same because we're going to kill all the chickens.
No, we have them.
Oh, no. We don't have chickens. You didn't hear that. We don't have any chickens here. What? Who do you believe, me or your own eyes? We don't have, we have no chickens. Finally, the number six egg substitute, mashed banana.
Oh, yeah, that works.
Sure. See, I read that and I thought, okay, I don't know how to cook, but I don't think that'll work. Yeah. Mashed banana because of the whole flavor situation, I would think. But okay, meanwhile, let's check in with the Trump administration where Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he will end funding for NIH research using body parts of aborted babies, so, which means the government is funding research using body parts of aborted babies, which is shocking. During Kennedy's confirmation hearing, Senator Josh Hawley, a puppet of the pro-life industry, asked Ted Kennedy if he would reinstate a 2019 HHS policy from Trump, barring providing taxpayer funding for NIH research that uses human fetal tissue from aborted babies. The rabidly pro-abortion Biden-Harris administration reversed Trump's policy in 2021. So, under the first Trump presidency, listen to this. You got to listen carefully. During Trump's first administration, HHS stopped new NIH research that involved fetal tissue from abortions. Did you get that? Trump stopped new research, which means he didn't stop using the body parts of aborted human beings in research. He just stopped any new, which is fake, phony, fake. I'm sorry. No, that doesn't work. You have to say we can't chop up people's bodies and use their body parts for research without their consent, especially after having murdered those people. We can't do that. No, Trump didn't say that. He just issued an order that allegedly stopped any new. I don't even believe it stopped anything because I think the way these The way these bureaucracies write these rules is they work in loopholes. And since Trump has loopholes for killing innocent people, I suspect he worked in some loopholes for this too. Why? Because he's a pro-abort. He's a child killer. That's why. So I don't believe him. And I don't believe Bobby Kennedy. And by the way, I don't believe you have to be rabidly pro-abortion. If you're pro-abortion, that's all. Doesn't have to. You don't have to be rabid about it. You're a murderer. You don't have to be a rabidly murderer. You're just a murderer. But now that the lines have moved significantly, Breitbart defines, if you're not rabid about abortion, you can now call yourself pro-life. In fact, Breitbart will present Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as if he's pro-life. So will Josh Hawley. Why? Because he's against certain chopping up of certain people. Doesn't that qualify? He's not rabidly pro-abortion, for crying out loud. He doesn't want to chop them up and eat them himself. So he's a pro-lifer like us. So yeah, so listen to the setup here at the staged hearings. Hawley says, my question to you is, which right there, you're like, wait a second. You don't have to say my question to you is. When you ask me the question, I already know that you're questioned. That's how I know, is because you asked me a question. But if you're a setup and you're reading from a script and you have a little bit of guilt in your black little conscience about the fact that you're a liar and a sleazy politician, Josh Hawley, then you start with, my question to you is, will you reinstate Trump's policy that ensures no federal research and no federal tax dollars is conducted on fetal tissue taken from elective abortions? And then Kennedy, after looking at his script, said yes. And the pro-lifers are satisfied, and the tattooed MAGA bikers and the potheads all erupt in cheers, and the bamboozled evangelicals celebrate, because now we have a place at the table with the pro-lifers and the bikers and the child killers and the potheads and the socialists all together. We're making America great again. And the devil will take that. That's a win for the devil that the Christians want to rub elbows with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and tell each other how great they are. Meanwhile, we have a report from Sarah Terzo, who calls herself pro-life. This will tell you how far the pro-life movement has fallen, is that Sarah Terzo is allowed to be a part of it. She's published on, she's published over at Life Site News, and I think Lila Rose also publishes some of her stuff. This is from her Substack. She says, abortion pills could be coming over the counter. If pro-lifers don't act, this may soon be a reality. According to one analysis, says Sarah Terzo, pro-lifer, according to one analysis, 20% of all legal abortions in the first quarter of 2024 were done by telehealth. The number is probably higher, says Sarah. And then Sarah goes on to educate us. In a telehealth abortion, the pregnant person meets with the abortionist over Zoom. The abortionist then mails the abortion pill to the pregnant person.
Why is he saying pregnant person?
Oh, that's why I stopped. And I was like, wait a second, pregnant person? Didn't she get the memo that Trump won? Right? She's like the liberals who kept the mask on after Biden won. I wanted to stop him in the store and say, didn't you hear Trump's out? You can take the mask off. But anyway, she's still with the pregnant person, okay? And she's a pro-lifer. Mm-hmm. She's against aborting the babies of trans women, too. Okay, she goes on to talk about a study that polled women, and then she tells us a recent study polled women, parentheses, those assigned female at birth. And then I'm thinking, wait a second. Supposedly Christian pro-life organizations are publishing this woman's work as a, okay. So she goes on to talk about RFK. What will he do? She says he's strongly pro-abortion, whatever that means. It's like some people are weakly pro-abortion, which means you could talk him out of it, but not RFK. He's strongly pro-abortion, which that's the worst kind, according to Sarah. He supports access to the abortion pill and unlimited abortion in the first two trimesters, which is worse than Sarah because she has reasonable limits on the baby she will support killing, which makes her pro-life. She goes on, if abortion pills become available over the counter, the abortion rate will rise. Wait a second. The abortion rate will rise? Sarah, are you saying that our goal should be to avoid a rise in the rate of the murder of innocent people? Because back when I was pro-life, we thought that there should be no murder of any people, and the rate was not the issue. It was the fact that killing people was legal. But see, that's why I'm no longer pro-life, because pro-life now means you're concerned about the rate and the method and which ones, and that's never been the issue. She says, we need someone who will fight against abortion pills with no prescription. Should have stopped at abortion pills. She could have added abortion pills with no prescription, especially for pregnant people. Wow. Boy, the pro-life movement, it ain't what it used to be, I tell you. All right, Mom, finally. No, listen to this. Yes, all of you with your MAGA hats, please put your MAGA hat on backwards. Huh? Sit down and listen to this story from the Gateway Pundit. By the way, the Gateway Pundit is a homosexual. The guy who runs the site, he's a pervert. He's an open pervert who wants conservatives to accept his perversion without talking about it. And the devil will take that. All right. Yeah, Jim Hoft. He's a homosexual pervert, open, and has been one of the most effective advocates for homosexuals who want to have a seat at the table with the Christians. And he's talked the Christians into letting him in there because he's against socialism. And he was against the lockdowns. And he's even against some child killing. He's even against some sexual deviancy. Some of it's a little too far for Jimmy. Listen to this. Jim points out that the Trump White House is making it abundantly clear that it does not endorse transgenderism and gender ideology. The State Department's official website has dropped the term LGBT and gone back to simply LGB. Okay. That's right. Donald Trump. Oh, by the way, Jim Hoft goes on to remind us that LGB stands for lesbian, gay, and bisexual. Those of you who matriculated back in the 80s and 90s with me, older folks, we remember when it was LGB, right? Do you remember? It used to be LGB, and it made us want to puke. Because they were the enemies of civilization, LGB. It meant they were sex perverts. And when you cover the kids' ears and you're like, arrest this guy. But now that's the official position of Make America Great with the LGB. And the fact that Jim Hoft is okay with them dropping the T, well, of course Jim Hoft would be. We've known that the gay mafia has been threatened by the trans mafia ever since the trans mafia came into ascendancy. So, but what the worst part of all this is that conservatives read this and they're like, yay, Donald Trump drops the T. We're back to the respectable position of sidling up with all the queers and the faggots and the perverts. And the devil will take that. You know what the devil calls that, Don? You know what he calls it? Winning. Winning. All right. That's the weekly worldview for this week. Because I can't take anymore. It's just, yeah. And so, yeah, I couldn't do a whole show without offending my MAGA base. I apologize. Well, hey, here's the thing. I'm going to give Trump credit where Trump is due. And then whenever Trump gives the devil his due, I'm going to call him on that. And I'm not going to let you people be bamboozled by a bunch of deviant Republicans who are, well, they're frankly, they're enemies of Jesus Christ And I'm not going to let them get by with it. For the sake of their own souls, they have to know when they're doing the devil's dirty work. And I'm here to let them know. All right, and that's it for the show this week, ladies and gentlemen. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. I want to thank all my friends out there at Real Science Radio and everyone who listens. And thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.